Well, good morning and welcome to worship on this 28th of February, 2021. I'm Derek Ingfelt, pastor here at Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Saratoga, California, and I'm happy to welcome you to this service. Today's theme is our soul's salvation. We gather in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Let us pray. Good, gracious, and glorious God, once again, we come together as your beloved people to focus our thoughts on your living and life-giving word that convicts us of our sin and brings us comfort, hope, and inspiration. You are the author of life, and so we pray, teach us again how to live it. Lift our spirits in praise before you now that we may faithfully bring you all honor and glory. Amen. Today is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Please now enjoy opening music. Here I am, Lord. Thank you very much, Anton, for sharing that with us this morning. We continue to move forward in hope during this season. This is now our 51st presentation here online. It has been almost a year since we started this, but we do move forward in hope, as now here in Santa Clara County, more than 290,000 people have received at least one vaccination shot. And a full 8% of those who are 16 and older have been vaccinated, fully vaccinated. That number has gone up from 6.1% last week. So we are making progress. We still have quite a ways to go. In the meantime, please do take care, wear your mask, stay distant from those outside your household. I encourage you to partake in our gatherings online. If you are watching at 9 o'clock in the morning, you can join us for a time of live fellowship via Zoom at 9:30. Also, you see on the screen different opportunities for you during this coming week, including Wednesday evening. We have a live gathering again on Zoom for our Lenten midweek service. We will be using material by Max Lucado called Jesus, the God Who Knows Your Name. Our focus this week will be on Jesus, the Friend of Sinners. If you have prayer requests, please do feel free to let me know. We'd be happy to include those in this service, as well as posting them on our website where people can see them and pray for you on a daily basis. And if you would like to receive a daily email from me, an update in the congregation, and things that possibilities for you to be involved, please do send your email address to me and I'd be happy to include you. Here during these days on site, we continue to gather food, collect food and clothes and books for kids. We take those to places that will distribute it to those in need. Thank you very much for your support in that way. A shout out this week to Dorothy Doherty, who turns 95 years old this coming Tuesday. We love you, Dorothy, and we remember you. We will include you in our prayers this morning as well. And thank you on behalf of our congregation for your faithful support for the ministry and mission of our Lord Jesus through your online giving as well as the checks that you send in. It encourages us in our ministry and keeps us going. And finally, if this service is of benefit to you, feel free to share it with others, pass it on, and share the good news. And now enjoy some music, special music from Alyssa, It Is Well.
That I
The Holy Gospel for this Sunday according to St. Mark, the 8th chapter, beginning with the 31st verse. Jesus then began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders, chief priests, and teachers of the law, and that he must be killed and after 3 days rise again. He spoke plainly about this, and Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. But when Jesus turned and looked at his disciples, he rebuked Peter. "Get behind me, Satan," he said. "You do not have in mind the things of God, but the things of men." Then he called the crowd to him, along with his disciples, and said, "If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for me and for the gospel will save it. What good is it for a man to gain the whole world and yet forfeit his soul? Or what can a man give in exchange for his soul? If anyone is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, the Son of Man will be ashamed of him when he comes in his Father's glory with the holy angels." This is the gospel of our Lord. Well, over the course of the past year, many, if not most of us, have felt that our lives have been put on hold. The pandemic has posted a stop sign on many of our activities and has driven it in deep. It's placed restrictions on many of our ways. A friend of mine posted a picture on Facebook not long ago of a crater that has occurred, a gap, a road erosion on Highway 1 south of Big Sur. Where the road had been, there is now a gaping hole. Well, it feels like a big chunk, a big gaping hole, 51 weeks and counting, has been taken out of our lives. Our lives as we had known them have been disrupted and derailed, and we want them back. Saving the soul of our nation, we've heard the terminology couched in presidential promises. And it's true that many, if not most of us, on both sides of the aisle, feel that our country, as we have come to know it, has been disturbed and dismantled. And that too, we want back. Well, Jesus has something to say about our disrupted and derailed lives, as well as our disturbed and dismantled nation. And he has more than a little to say about this road called suffering. For indeed, Jesus shows us again this morning the road that leads to life. There is an important backstory to our gospel this morning, what comes right before this passage when Jesus begins to teach his disciples. It comes at the very crux of Jesus' ministry, the very high point of his discipleship with his followers. Jesus takes them to a place called Caesarea Philippi, where he asks them, "Who do people say that I am?" They give their responses. They know what the word is on the street about Jesus. But then Jesus asks them, "What about you? Who do you say that I am?" Peter stands up and answers for the 12 in saying, "Jesus, you are the Christ. You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." And it's at that time that Jesus tells them, warns them, cautions them not to tell anybody about that until he was risen from the dead. The reason for Jesus' warning, the reason for the caution, is revealed in part in our passage this morning. From this time on, Mark tells us, Jesus began to teach. Jesus began to teach his disciples what the Messiah would do, the road the Messiah would take. The elders, the chief priests, the teachers of the law, they would all reject it. Jesus knew this in advance, and he told his disciples as much. So Jesus could not have been all that surprised at the response of his disciples when he shared this news with them. His words were stunning. It left them completely bewildered, and Peter offered a corrective. In fact, Peter insisted on it. There had been some tough things that Jesus had told them, some things they were still trying to figure out, for some of the parables left them truly scratching their heads. Jesus had talked about an upside-down kingdom, where the last became first, where profligate prodigals were welcomed hospitably, while stay-at-home sons were chastised. Jesus spent time with tax collectors and prostitutes and refused to kowtow to the religious elite. But these words about suffering, these words about rejection and death, this was over the top. Stop. Enough of this, Jesus. We will never let this happen to you. But Jesus does not back down. He does not budge. He speaks one of the harshest rebukes the disciples would ever hear him speak. Get behind me, Satan. While Peter certainly thought he was doing Jesus a favor, he was, in fact, standing in his way. You'll never let this happen to me? This is not debatable. It must take place. There would be no equivocation with Jesus, no deliberation, no second guessing, no vacillation. He was determined. The Messiah will continue his path of servanthood, and the truth is that this chosen path was not merely a means to a successful end. Servanthood, sacrifice, these themselves were success. This was it. And they would be fulfilled. They would culminate at Calvary. When the disciples considered their lives, when they considered the welfare of their souls, when they considered all that they had ever thought and had been taught about the Messiah and what the Messiah would do for them, the words of Jesus simply did not match up. How could it be this way? How could this be the way to life? This way of suffering and sacrifice, this way of rejection and death. Phillips Brooks was a Harvard-educated pastor and later bishop of the Episcopal Church in Massachusetts. He's perhaps better known as the man who wrote the beloved hymn, O Little Town of Bethlehem. Brooks also preached a message that pointed people to Christ, saying that Christians should live by Christ and be his and not their own. Indeed, if we are to be disciples of Christ, if we are to be his followers, we must go where he leads. In his invitation this morning, we see a vision of where he himself was intent to go, and he would never waver from it. Do you want to follow me, any of you? Well, yes, but what do you mean? If you want to follow me, you must take up your cross, as I will take up mine. This is the way to life. And if you will accept it, this is life. This life of sacrifice and service, it will give you freedom that you can acquire in no other way. But we think we know better. Some think that they will find their lives and save their souls by surrounding themselves with their possessions. And for the last 12 months, they've been stuck at home with them. They've learned that they do not bring satisfaction nor the fulfillment that their souls long for. Some think they will attain life if they have more dollars in their bank account or more letters behind their name. But these things, too, will leave them wanting, even as they continue to endlessly pursue that which will continue to elude them. Jesus teaches us that we will find our lives as we give them away, in service and in sacrifice. Why then are we surprised to discover that as much as we attempt to bring blessing to others, the blessing we receive when we serve them is greater still? Well, not far from the church, in fact, just up the street, just up the road from here, you come to an intersection. And if you go straight through the light, you will find yourself no longer on Saratoga Avenue, but on Big Basin Way. And here's the thing, you're on the same road, only now it has a new name. In the final words of the passage before us this morning, Jesus speaks of his final return in glory. Indeed, that is where this road of suffering will ultimately lead him, to the cross and on to glory. The road of suffering, the road of glory, they are one and the same. Only the name will change. That path that Jesus takes is the path that we must follow. He does not promise that it will be painless. In fact, he warns us that we are to be prepared for persecution. Perhaps the pandemic has done us a favor in the end. Perhaps those posted stop signs and craters in the road actually give us the opportunity to take stock of our lives and to consider the roads we've been taking. We all know that the best thing to do when we find out we are on the wrong road is to stop, turn around, and find your way back to the fork where you went wrong. The way Jesus leads, the way of servanthood and sacrifice, this is the path that leads to life. This is the path that leads to glory. There is no other way. And he beckons you on. If anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Good and gracious Lord, it is our utmost honor to do so. Amen. And now let us pray for the whole people of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Almighty God, we bow our hearts in humble adoration and give you thanks and praise as we go about your work in this Lenten season. We lift before you those servants of yours who are in special need of your healing touch and the assurance of your presence and promises in their lives. We pray for Athena and Alice, Ashley, Lucas, and Victor, Darrell, Dick, Doris, and Dorothy, Greg, Harriet, Hazel, and Janet. We lift before you Kelsey and Kimberly, Lee and Les, Michelle, Rashida, Reed, Steve and Gina, Wally and Joyce, and Stephen. We thank you for these dear friends in Christ, and we thank you for your work and faithfulness in their lives. We continue to pray for our nation, for unity, and that we might be leaders among the nations. We pray for those afflicted with COVID-19, especially Pastor Marty, that you would bring him and others to healing, restore their lives, and continue to empower them for your work in the world. This week we pray for those who celebrate birthdays in our midst. We pray that you would continue to hold them close to yourself and richly bless them in this coming year with all that is good. We lift before you Dorothy, Kara, and Sophie. We also thank you for Eric and Jeannie, for Mike and Jesse as they celebrate their anniversaries. Continue to draw them close together as husbands and wives, even as you draw them close to yourself. We pray for Senators Feinstein and Padilla, that you would be with them and grant them your wisdom, guidance, and insight, humility, and strength as they serve the people of this state and our nation. We pray for our sister congregation, Faith Lutheran Church, and Pastor Peggy, as they go about your work. Bless their ministry within and beyond their church walls. For Kamel and Badia, serving in the Middle East and North Africa, Bless their ministry, keep them safe in their work, and may your name be glorified in their midst. Finally, we pray for those who grieve the loss of loved ones, for the family of Don Thorne and Arthur Lepper, as well as for the Carinos, Gonzalez, Kozer, Peters, and Strauss families. Bless them with the comfort of your presence and your promises of everlasting life. These spoken prayers and the silent prayers of our hearts we lift before you, trusting in your mercy, as we join together in the prayer you taught your disciples to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Well, thank you very much for joining us on this last day of the month of February 2021. We are now 1/6 of the way done with this year already. Now receive the benediction, the good word from the Apostle Paul in his letter to the Romans. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And now closing music, The God of Abraham Prays. We thank Elizabeth for sharing her gifts with us.